maybe if we get another series, maybe we'll
late night
that one. Yeah,
a late night version, like Hollyoaks late. One of those.
I don't. I normally eat mine the morning after. So you know, Sunday morning is perfect for it. Accompaniments. Nice. Yeah, that's stuff gross. To dip it in. Mind you, mine normally come pre-dipped.
Yeah.
Self-sourced. That's
pudding.
One way of saying
yeah.
it.
Then my final Christmas episode, just to bring it back to something a bit more
seasonal.
Yeah, it's all about Christmas Day, and I'm really excited because I've got a vegan Christmas main on it, which is a Brussels sprout tarte tatin, which is really delicious. Trust me.
What's a tarte tatin?
So it's like, you know, the French tarte. It's quite often just with apples, but it's
yeah,
not
right.
the same.
What, so you slice Brussels sprouts and you make them
so
like a fan
half.
Of them?
No, these ones are just half, but they're all sort of fry them up in the pan with some lovely red onions mm-hmm. and some oil and some red wine vinegar and some Marmite. Get it all sort of sticky and juicy, and then lay over some puff pastry, whack it in the oven. And then after half an hour, you flip it over, and it's a gorgeous, like, caramelised... You know, have you ever had roasted sprouts before?
Yes.
Yes, it's kind of like roasted, caramelised, jammy sprouts on top of a crispy puff pastry. It's with a touch... Very savoury, really good.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's so nice.
And in fact, we were talking about what we wanted for Christmas dinner this year. I don't like turkey.
Don't you? It's a bit dry.
I don't really like roast dinners. And I was just like, can't we just have a curry?
You don't like roast dinners?
Not really.
What, roast potatoes?
I think that it's sort of like... right, okay. Don't take this the wrong way. But I feel like it's like medieval, unadventurous cooking where we're not gonna combine ingredients. We're just going to have... There are the carrots. There are the potatoes. There are the peas. There... that's the meat, and it's all sort of like separate elements on a plate, and then you pour gravy all over it, and that's meant sort of like tight together. And I know you can do loads of really, you know, exciting stuff with vegetables these days, but when people go on about, oh, let's go to the pub for a Sunday roast, that's not what Sunday roasts are doing. They're doing your basic Sunday roast, and I've never had one that I think is better than a lasagna or better than you know, chicken dan sac or chicken chow mein or Vietnamese food. I've
so
never
you
had
love flavours. You just love lots of like punchy flavours.
I don't. I think also they're really heavy. And I would say I like a pho or something that's light but full of flavour. Or and I like rice and I like I love rice and I love noodles. And I don't tend to eat like potatoes and chips and
really?
Stuff like that. So it's kind of like my instincts would always be like to eat rice and stuff like that. So I've never really been into sort of like roast dinners. And then when you go to like Christmas Day, that's like the king of the roast dinners. So it better be fucking good. And it's never as good as, you know, something else that you'd rather be eating, I suppose.
Well,
I find it very comforting, a roast.
I do as well. I think it's probably that would be my like favourite dinner to have because it's just comforting. It's simple, really crunchy, like fatty potatoes with loads of salt on, and just all the veg. You feel like it's quite healthy as well, like having all those different vegetables. But it's really basic. But I guess like you know, each to their own, isn't it? I'm never going to persuade you.
See,
if you don't like
I mean,
chips. Who doesn't like chips?
I mean, I don't not like chips, but I wouldn't choose to eat chips. I'd rather have rice. But then if I thought about it, what my idea of something that would be delicious to have at Christmas would be to have kind of like gammon or like a ham hock and have that with mashed potatoes and peas. But that's not a roast, is it?
No.
Even though if you roast the meat...
Yeah, it's not really...
But you can't... What, you're not allowed mashed potatoes now?
Oh, mashed potato is the worst potato of any. If you had to pick a type of potato, mash would be the worst.
Well, I love mashed potato, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't live without. If I thought I'd never have a roast potato again, I'd kill myself. I love a roast
what
potato.
What is a roast potato, if not mashed potato, in a shell?
Because
exactly.
It's like a crispy, crunchy shell.
Sure, fine. Oh. But it's nothing without the mash.
There used to be, I don't think they do it now, there's a pub in St. Mary's Lane called the Lamb and Flag Pub. And on a Sunday, they used to have roast potatoes on the bar. You could just have as a little snack.
Yeah, but that was because they fell off someone else's plate, mate.
Still counts.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Juliet, is that I don't think I've ever had an amazing roast dinner.
I think you're doing this challenge. On I don't think we've got one more show left
next Friday.
I don't think you could make a nice roast dinner, Juliet, next Friday between 12 and 2. That's what I think.
I'm afraid I'm not biting to that. I do make the best roast dinner in the world. Just saying.
Right, I believe you. Need to prove it, but I do believe you. But we, you know,
I'm not going to base it. I've got pretty distinguished taste buds, and I'm not going to take.
Is just
word
roast
for
dinner
it.
A bit too basic for you? Do you think?
I just think it's just kind of like. It's like it feels like they couldn't even be bothered to combine the ingredients to make something. It's just like, there you go.
I just don't think you've had a decent one then in your life.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
And you make the best ones in the world.
But you make the best ones. I guess it must be pretty good.
Yeah. But I guess we'll never know.
I guess you never will.
We'll never know if Nick will ever like a roast dinner.
Not that I don't like roast dinners, and I have had roast dinners that I enjoy, but I've never had a roast dinner that I would enjoy more than something.
I remember last time I was here, you told me your mum didn't massively like cooking.
No, my mum, she doesn't. She's good at cooking, but she doesn't really. She doesn't really do a lot of cooking, whereas my dad, I don't know.
Is your dad a good cook and love cooking?
No, he doesn't love cooking. And
so I think that's where the roast things come from then, because most people that talk about a roast always say, well, it's never as good as my mum's one. Mm. You know, you get that kind of, it's a nostalgic sort of deep.
That's what I think, it's a comfort food. My grandma
used to be a dinner lady and she used to make amazing potatoes, but I think that what they used to do is they used to finish them off in a deep fat fryer.
Oh, that's just not amazing potato.
They were amazing.
No. See, I don't.
What are you saying about my
about.
Fucking grandma?
Well,
I mean, you've got to be fucking careful coming on here. They were fucking incredible, and she's dead now. So fucking what again?
The recipe's
gone with her. But
we know the recipe. It was a deep fat fryer.
Yeah,
that's not the recipe, is it? That's the method.
Yeah, what's the recipe? Potato.
Well, that's exactly my point about roast dinners. It's like fucking, it's like you've got basically the raw ingredients and they're put on a plate and it's up to you to chew it all together to make whatever you want out of it.
You boil potato, you shake potato, you shake it in some polenta to.
Yes, I can make amazing roast potatoes. I can make an amazing roast dinner. In actual fact, the best roast dinner I've ever eaten is one that I made, but I still wouldn't go out and choose it.
So it's just not, you're just not a
it's
fan.
Just not my sort of thing. It's, you know, fucking hell.
Could you imagine what this show would be like if we had roast dinners to eat halfway through? We just wouldn't want to speak. We'd just be...
Well, I'd have to. I wouldn't say no one would speak.
No, I'd watch it, though, while you're having
it. I even have to talk when I've got a fucking mouthful. Anyway, Juliet, thank you so much for coming in and bringing in the sourdough. Sour bread. It was delicious.
Good, thank you. It was absolutely
delicious.
I don't like this smoked salt.
Do you like the salt
much.
One? Do you want the plain one? You don't have to have the smoked one.
Sometimes it feels sort of like a little bit. What's the word? Synthetic.
Oh, right, I mean? This is completely natural, this one. But
no, I bet it does. But sometimes smoked salt is a little bit like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's got. Yeah.
Anyway. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the bread.
Thank you very much.
We will enjoy the rest of the bread. We've got bread to go. And what's your song?
It's A Winter's Tale by David Essex.
And we'll be joined after the break with our next guest.
The nights are colder now. Maybe I should close the door. And anyway, the snow has covered all your footsteps, and I can follow you no more. The fire still burns at night. My memories are warm. But everybody knows it's hard to just another winter's day. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? A love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. If you hear, I wonder if you're listening. I wonder where you are today. Good luck, I wish you well, for all that wishes may be worth. I hope that love and strength are with you for the length of your time on earth. Another winter's day. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? It's a love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. Just another winter's day.
Nick Helm och Nathaniel Metcalf Fanclub på Fubar Radio.
And we're back in the studio. We've just eaten sour bread.
I've had some sour bread.
It's fine. I love it. And we're joined in the studio now by brothers Craig and Sean McAnuff.
Yo, yo.
I did it right. And you've got a book out, right?
Yeah, correct.
Is it brand new right now?
Yeah, it just got out. Came out in August, the 7th. It's our first published book. By Bloomsbury, and it's basically about Caribbean food from home. And we went to Jamaica to explore the traditional, authentic flavors and meet family as well. So it's got amazing recipes in there.
So you were already cooking like Jamaican food, but then you went back to
already cooking.
Go to the source.
That's right. It's not nothing like going back to the source, is it?
So your book's called Original Flavor.
Yeah, man.
Caribbean recipes from home.
Correct.
Craig and Sean McAnuff.
That's right.
I'm just like, I'm really proud of myself that I got your name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like jerk chicken.
Yeah.
And I like, I used to live in Seven Sisters, and there were loads of, so we'd have sort of like goat curry and stuff.
Yeah. First of all, it's curry goat.
Yeah, we say curry goat.
Curry goat.
It's not goat curry.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, come on, I'm learning.
Yeah, you're learning.
But we used to live in Seven Sisters, and there used to be, a Caribbean place on the way to the station, on the way back home. So
nice.
We used to get it there.
Yeah.
And also, I lived in South London, and we used to eat some there.
Oh yeah. And
we filmed. I did a TV show on Dave. A food show on Dave.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Where we went around, but the pilot of it, we went and we went to a Caribbean restaurant in Manchester.
Oh right. Yeah.
And they weren't like apparently. I was blacklisted on Channel 4, and they didn't want to make But Channel 4 didn't want to make any shows with me for like a year.
Wow.
I probably shouldn't be saying this. But then we did like a non-televised pilot for Channel 4 for this food show that ended up going on Dave. Mm. And they saw me do the pilot and I ate some jerk chicken that was so delicious I burst into tears. And they said, oh, we liked it. And then the very next day they booked me for 8 out of 10 cats. And it was just like, oh, well, okay. So I've got Caribbean food to thank for me being back on Channel 4.
Amazing.
Were the tears
I should definitely
actually
not
because
have,
of the food?
I should definitely not have told that story.
I think the Scotch bonnet was bringing some tears to the eyes.
Oh, wow, but it was really delicious. Yeah. There was sort of like, what is it? You've got sort of like this Scotch bonnet vinegar sauce.
Escovitch sauce. Mm. But there's so much more food to Jamaican food than just jerk chicken and curry goat. You see in our book as well, we've got over 100 recipes of like a lot of vegan foods, vegetarians, pescatarians. So we kind of cater for all people.
Yeah, man. And well, are these recipes you're coming up with yourselves?
Some of them are, you know. We're modernising a lot of Caribbean food and fusion and different cuisines together as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got like a curry mutton pie. So it's this fusion in like the curry goat / mutton with like the shepherd's pie.
What is mutton?
Mutton is basically, it's like the older, is it the older one? Older goat. Older goat older sheep. Older sheep.
Oh, right,
goat
so you have like lamb. Yeah. You don't eat sheep, you eat lamb, and then mutton is older. And what's the difference between lamb and goat?
Boy.
Lamb, this is a smaller one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as in taste. Yeah. Or just in. Oh, right.
size. Yeah, yeah. So lamb's the smaller one.
I think goat is more.
It's more tender.
To me, I think it's more tender.
Takes longer to cook.
Yeah.
And it's just delicious when it falls off the bone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's more juicier.
Yeah.
I think it's more juicier, naturally juicier. Lamb is as well. Mm-hmm. But goat is, it's just a whole different sort of taste.
Have you tried it?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I ever had curry goat.
Wow.
So good. I've heard,
what do you think of the state of Caribbean food in the UK? Like in sort of restaurants and things? Do you think it's good or do you think it's like you're getting a kind of lesser version of it?
Next question.
I think it's so hard to keep the authenticity of Caribbean food in restaurants, especially there's a lot of Caribbean inspired restaurants out there now.
I would say that's true for a lot of cuisines as well.
It's difficult.
Even like Indian, if you went to like, you know, the most authentic, I don't know, like Italian like chef learned from his great grandmother. And he went to, I don't know, like Zizi's or something. What's this?
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of that, isn't it? Yeah. So, and then there's so much people that go to these restaurants. It's all about speed rather than taste.
Mm-hmm.
So what we...
And quantity as well.
And quantity, exactly.
So in your books, you're not cooking like restaurant food. You're cooking like home cooking more than it's like...
It's all about home cooking. And we do a lot of restaurant food, actually. We do a lot of commercial events as well. But we try to stay true to, you know, our book and stuff and try and keep it as authentic as we can.
Yeah.
That's what we've learned.
But when we do the commercial stuff, like we got like a monthly supper club for like 50 people in Battersea.
So hang on, where do you live?
We live in Fulton Heath.
Yeah.
And that's where you brought up.
Near Croydon. Yeah, man.
Near Croydon. I know Croydon well.
And
so you were taught to cook by your nanny in Thornton Heath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm 32.
I'm just 30.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're a lot younger than me. when you were, you were brought up on Caribbean food?
Yeah. Caribbean food, English food as well, even like Spitz Bag Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just British food.
But of course.
Even though Spaghetti is not British.
Like the classics that you brought up. Yeah. I mean, I was brought up on British food, you know, like curry, spaghetti bolognese, chicken chow mein.
English
stuff.
You
know, all of the English stuff that we were all of course you weren't like exclusively eating Caribbean food. But like, that's kind of, it's a little bit like, I mean, you know, I guess when my grandma, who we used to call Nanny, but I always...
Yes, we say Nanny, actually.
I always find that...
We say Nanny.
Nobody says Nanny, I feel a little bit like...
One with you, man.
Oh, right, okay, good, nanny. Try. So my Nanny...
See, I'm picturing, like, Mary Poppins now, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like,
that's why I never say it. That's why I never say it.
It's like, oh, it's Nanny.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'd go back, and she was, like, from up north, and we'd go back and we'd have, like, roast dinners and stuff. Mm. Right, fine. And that was the sort of stuff that they... They grew up watching, but eating. But like, so your nanny brought you up on Caribbean food,
yeah,
and And do you, so do you love food? Was that always your number one aspiration, the thing that you wanted to do, or have you sort of like had a bit of a journey to get there?
I think definitely had a journey. I mean, I've always we always love food, obviously. Who doesn't love food? But
my dad.
No.
I mean, he treats his face like a furnace.
Oh, okay. I mean, we were always brought up around food. So, like, our mum was always in the kitchen, our grandmother was there, and we were quite close to them. So, like, being around that, seeing all the different recipes, we were quite intrigued to see what it was all about. Mm-hmm. So, as we got older, we just kind of just learned from them, just watching them in the kitchen. First, it was just setting up the tables.
Yeah, setting
it?
Up. We kind of forced them in the kitchen to kind of like serve or like just do the little niggly bits that they didn't want to do.
Work.
Like tidy up and stuff. But yeah, then we kind of just. but with that, we got to eat the food
Sweet
first.
The floor.
Yeah, we got to eat the food first.
Exactly.
So
right.
We were kind of like, it was like a win-win to us anyway.
Yeah.
But so that's how we were first introduced to food, and then we just learned to just grow to love it. In our own time, when we went to uni and stuff, like cook ourselves.
Where did you go to uni?
Hertfordshire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What, the one in Hatfield?
Yeah, that's right. I went to that one. Did you go?
Oh, no, I grew up in St Albans.
Oh, is it?
And I
used to go out there a few nights.
You know the Galleria?
yeah, Galleria.
You know the Galleria?
Yeah,
I used to work in a business link opposite the Galleria.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, fucking hell, it was terrible. It was 2008, and I was just like, oh, God. I started, that's actually when I started,
2008.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I would have been getting a bus past
I saw you before.
I used to go around the gallery in my lunch break and just pretend that I wasn't working there.
Oh, right.
And then I worked in Croydon. Where else have you been?
I went to Bucks Uni in High Wycombe. No one ever knows where it is.
I've heard of High Wycombe.
Yeah, is it? Okay. Yeah.
But I...
Not the uni.
I've got... ex-girlfriend.
Oh, is it saying? No
okay, she might be listening.
Oh, yeah, but she's lovely.
Oh,
okay.
That's good.
Anyway,
you talk about like restaurant food, and you're a bit down it. So, would you not have aspirations to have like restaurant?
Oh,
right, okay.
Of course. Yeah.
But what
yeah.
did you do at uni?
I might have been media.
You're media.
I did graphic design, advertising.
Did you design the book?
Yeah, the first one. We've done a self-published book before. So we grew our platform online on Facebook, and we got like a million views in a week in our first
video.
And
you did lots of YouTube stuff.
Yeah, more Facebook.
Started on Facebook.
More Facebook.
Yeah.
So what year did you start doing that?
2016, March. It was like Easter time. So our first video was called Bun and Cheese. It was similar to Cross Bun, but it's more sweeter.
Yeah, that's like Caribbean.
With a spice.
Yeah, it's
okay.
So nice,
and
man.
It was just a niche that everyone loved Caribbean food, but not everyone knew how to make it. So we made videos. Like 1 minute videos showing you step by step.
And did you use your media stuff for that?
Yeah. And Craig done great graphics on it. And it was
this is the thing. Easy, quick.
I bumped in, I'm not. We're going to talk about you, but I bumped into into someone I went to university with, and we were like basically saying that how we did media, but it was sort of like a drama/media degree, but we were like learning how to do stuff on VHS, even when VHS was sort of like out.
I did exactly the same
it was
thing.
It was such a waste of time. They were like teaching you how to like, and it's like the DVDs, you know, the future was digital, and we were still learning how to do stuff on these huge tapes and stuff. And we were like saying that we didn't really get anything out of our doing. And then when we were talking, we realised, you know, that she works within the media, but like not a direct route.
Yeah.
And then I think there's a lot of people that finish university and then they never think about their degree ever again.
Yeah.
But I think that there are ways of using your degree that aren't necessarily a route, one way of doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like you've gone into food and you wouldn't think there's a direct route from doing a media degree to that.
Yeah.
But you've used your degree
in order
to get out.
Exactly, especially with social media these days. You know, you can kind of create your own platform
and
just use your skills to create what you want to do.
So when you did you have any expectations at all of it taking off?
Not at all, because we just initially wanted to show our friends how to make Caribbean food.
Right, so it was just for friends to see.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was no like money making thing or anything like that.
No agenda at all.
So it started in 2016. Mm-hmm. First video, we got a million views. And then we just start to be consistent every week.
Your first video got a million views.
Yeah, the bun and cheese.
A million views in a week.
I kind of know that. I got a tweet once that got 75 likes.
Oh,
so
wow.
I kind of
know. Imagine how that feels.
I kind of, yeah, I can, yeah. If you can imagine how that feels, guys.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And bun and cheese, you're saying it's like a hot cross bun. Is it a thing you traditionally eat at Easter as well?
Absolutely. In Jamaica, it's like a tradition to eat an Easter. So it's like a big, thick block of cheese with like a bun.
What sort of cheese?
What kind of cheese?
Was it processed cheese, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like normally like in Jamaica, you have like a tinned cheese.
Yeah,
it's like
oh, yeah.
Over here, we just use like
normal
cheddar cheese,
yeah.
Any cheese.
And you just have a big block of cheese?
Yeah, and with a bun in between it.
No, you put the cheese in between the bun.
Yeah.
Okay.
In between the bun.
Okay.
The
so it's like a toasted cheese sandwich.
That's it. You can melt it as well.
Basically.
But what's the tinned cheese like?
Say again?
What's tinned cheese like?
Yeah, it's just like processed cheese, isn't it? You know with the little cheese in the plastic sheets that used to get when you were kids?
Like Dairy Lee?
It's not like that.
It's not as worse as that.
It's not
worse as that.
It's like a stereotype of cheese. It's oh, if you imagine what cheese tastes like, it's that.
Yeah.
Like cheese in a like a Big Mac cheese.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You know Dirty Burger cheese?
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit like that. Yeah, I would say that. If
well,
you
like
melted
the orange
it,
it's more thicker.
It's thicker,
yeah,
obviously.
Orange,
but if you, it's a bright orange.
I love it.
Oh
yeah.
God! So there's that in
that
in a roll, but a big chunk
it's
of it.
Thicker. Yeah, it's really thick.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. Oh man, alive!
It's basically like a loaf. It's a loaf, and you kind of.
So how big
like
are we talking? What size are we talking?
Can we get a picture of it?
You can basically.
Have you got a picture of it?
Yeah, we've got the recipe.
Wow.
Because we live by like a bakery called Cornfields, and then this should be queues like every year, and we probably used to think, why? Well, I think just show people how to make it, because our grandma knew how to make it.
Yeah.
So we kind of just got tips off her, and then we just done a video.
Yeah.
And everyone started just making it now instead of queuing up and wasting money.
Yeah, sure.
And just making it myself.
I'm still trying to look for it.
So if you're looking, so like in a way, if you're looking for Caribbean food, good Caribbean food in the UK, the best way to get it is to make it yourself.
100%.
I would say so, yeah.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, so there's not like places you would go there, they do that's good or that's good or...
There are places, yeah, definitely.
But do you feel like, I don't even want to say the names of like, but kind of bigger kind of Caribbean chain places that I've been to and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But would you be like, you're kind of getting a kind of...
It's Caribbean inspired, isn't it? They're not trying to be authentic.
Right.
That's the thing. So, you know, the other restaurants out there, the chains and stuff like that, they're not going to get that authenticity that you'll get, at your grandma's house or your mum's.
So you're still like, if you want to have good Caribbean food, you've just got to make it yourself. You've got to buy your book.
Got to buy our book, Original Flavour Caribbean Food from Home.
It's like unmelted nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, that is what it looks like. Yeah.
That's it. That's actually.
So it's basically like a spice. It's called Easter spiced bun. If you go into like Tesco's, they sell it in Tesco's.
Yeah, they do.
They're right.
You sell it in Tesco's. The spiced bun, and it's like a loaf of bread, and it's in that sort of form anyway. And you slice it in however thick you want.
Like this almost looks like a sort of like fruitcake bread, right?
Yeah,
it's like a kind of
fruit bun kind of view.
Yeah, with cheese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I bet that's all right, actually.
Really
I bet
good.
That's nice.
It is
really
nice,
good.
Mate. It is nice.
I'm quite intrigued by tin cheese as well.
Yeah.
That actually kind of weirdly appeals. It's one of those things where you've got such good photography in this book, you've got a tin of cheese that looks
that's
delicious.
That's the thing. We've got amazing... What we wanted the real like Jamaica food. We wanted the real Caribbean. We didn't want like sandy beaches and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
We literally went straight to like Kingston. We went to everywhere. Jamaica's really
the
big, small, but it's really big.
Yeah.
But we literally went from... like Mull Bay to Clarendon, like to Maypen, to Kingston, to all these St. Anne's, so much different Caribbean places, but we went to the real nitty gritty of Jamaica.
And did they pay for all that?
The
publisher.
Was
it great?
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
Awesome. Was it like...
It was amazing.
I mean, you're working as well.
it's doing what you love, you know.
You got a bit of a holiday out of it.
You know what? We didn't.
Literally,
no.
But the work was like.
I think out of the month, probably 2 days we went by the pool.
Sure. But we just wanted the realness. Like we just wanted to be around our people, the people you know what I mean that made Jamaican and Caribbean culture so great.
And you got to meet loads of people.
Yeah, we got a lot of family there.
That's the best bit, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So we went to our grandma's house as well, where she lived.
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing experience.
Seeing
seeing her first son. Our uncle and seeing those family members I've never met before, which was great.
And in our back garden, literally, you just pick a lot of mangoes on the tree, like cocoa, what they use to make that chocolate, like some breadfruit, plantain, banana,
avocado. Literally, we picked a massive avocado for the tree.
Yeah,
I feel like we're getting robbed from the supermarkets. Like, avocados over here, they're so small.
How big was it?
Oh, man,
literally about that big.
Yeah.
He's making the size of like a medium Easter egg.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we're doing radio. You got to do a little bit of
But like, so you met loads of family members that otherwise you wouldn't have met.
Say again. Oh yeah, of course. In Jamaica, literally, they don't really come over to England. They're just there, so we wouldn't have met them if we didn't.
But that's incredible, right?
Yeah, I know.
Mm. So you know, you did. I just think that it's just a really incredible thing. One of the things is like, so I was so poor before I started. So I do stand up. Yeah. And I was so poor before I started doing stand up.
Yeah.
And then it was really like a last ditch thing, which is like, I've got nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
I started doing it and I thought, I'll give myself 5 years. I started making a bit of money in like 3 years.
Yeah.
And then off of that, I started traveling and having to go around the country. And then I've been around like the world. I haven't been everywhere, but I've been to places. I've been to places that I'd never have been just through work.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and the fact is, you know, you used your degrees and you haven't gone a direct route with them. And you're kind of doing something that's creative and it's off your own bat, but you're kind of like using the skills that you've learned. And then through that, you're traveling around the planet, and you're meeting family members that you wouldn't have known. I just think that's incredible. I think that's a really beautiful side effect of what you've managed to create.
And that's what we've got in the book as well. It's not just a cook, but obviously it's got amazing recipes, recipes that you can just cook every day, but it's a story. Do you know what I mean? It's a story about how our great grandparents who like had 10 kids, and like from that, we're here producing a book in the UK about them.
Yeah.
It's insane. So when we went there, we saw like their gravesides and like their houses and the people cooking by the street sides, and the jerk, the real jerk as well, how to make the real jerk on the pimento wood. Different foods as well.
So you must have had an idea about what your book was going to be. You know, you would have pitched a book and they would have said, hey, we want to make a book with you. And
so we had a self-published book. Like
The self-published book is the same book or is it completely different?
It's got about 25 recipes, which are the same.
Right.
But there's 75 new ones.
So you did a self-published book and then, Bloomsbury? Well. Bloomsbury could say, well, do you want to do an expanded book where we'll send you to Jamaica? And you said, all right.
Why not?
But then in doing that book, you would have had an idea of what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then it would have adapted as you went out there.
And it changed as well.
Yeah,
changed
of course.
It got more into the emotional side and the history of like black history and like Jamaica and how we've intertwined as British born boys and with that Jamaican heritage and Caribbean heritage. It's such a big thing and it's so intertwined into British culture anyway, and which is kind of like a celebration book as well.
Yeah.
So and history, there's so much, man, there's so much. But with the self-published book, bro, had an amazing
what
journey.
You know and what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And then had you been to Jamaica a lot before?
This is my second time being to Jamaica.
This is actually my first time.
Really?
Yeah. This is my first time, so but it felt like I've always been there for years
because
I had a connection with the food and the culture. It's like I never left. The people are just amazing there. Like everyone just knows about food there.
Yeah.
You could have a big conversation.
Yeah,
like meet people in the street. We showed them our old book before. We first went out there, so it was just really amazing. Like they knew about everything, even the kids went to a school out there as well.
Yeah,
which was amazing.
And your self-published book, how far into it were you doing it before you did the self-published book? Was that an idea straight away?
It was out, like it was out. It went to number one the Caribbean cookbooks on Amazon, man. Like,
it was about a year, isn't it? It was about a year. We did a Kickstarter campaign, and
crowdfunding.
So that was all from the Facebook stuff as well.
So our followers helped us raise like £14,000.
That's
to
great.
Produce a book, our first one, which was amazing. Got like a big, massive following online.
I think of this stuff all the time. I always think of these people that sort of start doing stuff online, and now it almost seems that there's a sort of cynical way of looking at it to be, not necessarily like in a bad way, just people going, oh, if I do this, I can build this thing and have it.
Yeah,
but it's sort of amazing that a lot of it's just accidental.
Yeah,
it's accidental, but you've obviously had like,
you obviously had
a vision, right?
Yeah,
even if you
vision,
didn't have, you didn't expect anything, but you certainly had a vision of where you'd want to go with it, right?
Totally had
it's also a little bit about like having an idea and people responding to it and then going, oh cool, people like this, let's see how far we can push it. And then that's where the self-publishing comes from.
Exactly.
And then off of that it's just like, hang on a minute, there's even more people interested. So then let's really see how far we can push it.
Yeah, definitely. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication and consistency as well.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, you know, if you're passionate about something, just go for it.
Yeah,
if you love doing something, just do
it. And I say that about Bloomsbury, but Bloomsbury must only have got involved because they're also going, we can make money on this.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not like anyone's doing you a favour.
Of of course.
Like obviously still for us as well, to give us more exposure mainstream wise.
Yes, we've got
a lot of exposure mainstream wise.
It's a huge publisher, right? Bloomsbury.
Yeah, they're really good.
We got into the papers, like.
We're on ITV News the other day, 6 o'clock news as well. So.
Waitrose, like, we were like Westfield, like BBC before. Like, naturally, it was more organic. They reached out to us, which is cool. But, like, emails started to go in, and it was just like, oh, okay. Bit long.
And now, guys,
but now it's just
you're on FUBAR Radio.
I know, man.
Yeah, exactly. We made it, man. Trust me.
Trust. Big up FUBAR, man.
Big up you guys, man. Thanks.
This is part of the 5-year plan, right? Yeah, FUBAR Radio is at top.
Definitely, man.
you're being nice.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite, Sean?
Craig.
Yeah. Don't worry.
What's your favourite dish in the book?
In the book, I'd say lobster. There's a sweet chili lobster. You think like it's hard to make, but it's not. It's so easy to make in about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice. I'm a massive seafood fan.
Yeah.
And all like curry prawns.
Sweet chili, is that a big thing in Jamaican food then?
Not really.
I was going to say, because I don't know what I think, where I think, yeah.
No. We just like it. I think we just like sweet exactly. chili. We always
is this
it.
Just food but you like in here?
Lobster.
Look at how happy
you are. Yeah, happy, mate. That was in Jamaica, actually. That was at my aunt's house in Kingston.
Yeah. What's your favourite thing in the book?
Oh, so many, man. Depends. Is it breakfast, lunch or dinner?
Breakfast.
Ackee and saltfish with fried dumplings, mate.
Really good,
Ackee and saltfish fried dumplings. It's the Jamaican national dish. Should be at the front.
So good, man.
I'm trying to find this lobster.
Oh, yeah, right. It should be like by the seafood bit.
Right.
Cheat and go index.
it looks incredible, though.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. Seafood is massive in Jamaica. It is. Massive. They go out. We saw some guys going out at like 4 a.m. in the morning catching fish. And just cook it fresh.
Did you get up with them and did you do any fishing?
No, unfortunately not. We missed them every time. Like, we couldn't wake up.
Too early. Too early.
We missed them every time by 5 hours. It was incredible.
I'm beginning to think it was a holiday. Yeah. we didn't get up.
We were up at 7 o'clock though, every morning.
Mm. That's the thing. You do like travelling around and you do filming and whatever, and people go, oh, I bet that's nice. There you go.
Yeah, mate.
That's garlic butter lobster with sweet chili. Oh my God, that looks incredible.
Amazing,
yeah, so good.
People say, oh, I bet you had a nice time. You're doing all that eating. And you go, actually.
I'm putting on a few pounds, mate.
It's a fucking nightmare. Yeah. Like, when we did the thing, it was like, I always say this, but like when we did the thing, everyone goes, oh, that's nice, getting paid to eat. And it's just like, I'm literally getting paid to eat. Yeah. So you're eating at like 9:30 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the afternoon, 5:30 in the afternoon, and you're never not full, and you're just uncomfortable the whole time. It's just like,
you're eating
about what you would do in a week, in a day, and it's just like, it's absolutely...
Yeah. Yeah, all the recipe tested, mate.
Pepper prawns. But don't you find like, I always think that when I end up cooking like Christmas dinner or something like that, well, whenever I cook, you spend all this time in the kitchen and you're tasting bits here and there, and then by the time you sit down, you're not hungry.
Yeah, all the time.
And everyone looks at you like, what's wrong with the food?
Yeah. All the time. My mum used to do that every Christmas. She would make literally for about 12, 13 people by herself.
Yeah.
And then it'll get to dinner time now. She just sits by the TV and just watches TV or just chills.
Because she's been picking out food all day, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. It was just a small, isn't it?
You've got a recipe for jerk. Is it jerk chicken turkey?
Jerk turkey.
So it's turkey.
Jerk turkey, yeah.
Is that what you're having for Christmas dinner?
We will be having that,
We're also doing a supper club. We're having a supper club of like jerk turkey and red label lamb.
Red label lamb.
And mac and
you guys ever tried a red label wine before?
No.
No, what is this?
It's like a tonic wine.
Yeah, it's a Jamaican tonic wine.
Sweet.
What's it like? Sweet. What's
it's
the
like?
Red label.
Like red label.
What is in
tonic?
It's tonic wine. What's that? Obviously red wine, but it's a bit more
sweeter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeter. It's not bitter.
Yeah.
And is it to have with savoury food or with like kind of sweet food?
You normally have it as a drink.
Yeah, you normally have a drink or a mixer.
Yeah.
It's good with food.
Yeah.
And when you say with a mixer, it's really strong.
It's not really strong. It's about 13%.
Okay, so it's like wine, right? It's just like normal.
Yeah, it's
like
normal
wine.
It's sweeter, yeah.
It's like how you put red wine in, like, I don't know, like bolognese or something.
Yeah. Okay, it's all right, yeah. So is it cooking wine as well then?
No.
Just drinks. Okay.
Yeah, we just remixed it.
Okay.
Yeah, I made a red label wine. So basically, you use the red label wine to make a nice gravy. like a sweet, thick, spicy gravy on the lamb.
Yeah.
So we'll be serving that at a supper club.
Mac and cheese as Christmas.
Mac and cheese?
Yeah, mac and cheese.
Talk us through your supper club.
So we started our supper club, our first one was in October.
What is a supper club?
It's a intimate setting where people can come and dine with us.
And who's? Like,
so our followers, so we'll sell tickets.
And so you get like a small group of strangers that all turn up and they eat in sort of like a kitchen.
Yeah, an open plan kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, most of our followers.
And you're doing that on Christmas Day?
No, 21st of December.
21st.
But the good thing about it, it's been so successful. Like, people come with maybe just their friend or maybe three people or even just by themselves.
Yeah.
And they, we've had amazing reviews about people just meeting new people and just having a great time, exchanging numbers, just chatting. There's free unlimited rum punch as well.
And you're
and
in
so
the kitchen.
That kind of fuels it.
So you're cooking in front of them in an open plan kitchen. And you're chatting to them as well and you're talking them through.
Yeah,
we do a masterclass before the three course meal.
Yeah.
Showing you how to make the dish that you're eating.
Yeah.
And then we give you guys
what, and do they get involved and do it as well?
Yeah, we'll get them up and get them involved, you know, get them seasoning them, cooking.
So it's like a show as well. You're doing like a show of cooking for them.
Yeah, man.
Because a lot of people love watching our videos, but they want to taste our food. So it might only make sense that we've done the supper club so they can meet us and taste our food as well.
How do you feel if people are talking to you while you're cooking? Are you quite good about it? You're like, leave me alone.
It's right.
Leave
me alone. Used to. Yeah. With my eyes closed.
And we're so used to like, cooking in our nan's like small kitchen. We've literally cooked for about 250 people in that small kitchen. So when we're going to people cooking in front of them, it's a minor.
We won't say where though.
But it's good, man.
Yeah.
And there's still tickets left for that, or is that sold
out? Just came out about half an hour ago.
Oh wow! So how where can people get tickets for that if they want to go to
Eventbrite?
21st? Eventbrite. Mm. Okay.
Just type in original flavor supper club.
Yep.
There can't be many seats for that. Like.
There's like 50, 40, 42.
42.
So you need to get in quick.
Quick, very quick.
And is it all? Is it all one meal, or is it you do like an early?
Three course meal.
Yeah, but do you do like an early sitting and then a late sitting?
No.
Or is it 42 people all in one go?
All in one go.
Right, yeah.
All in one go.
So is that a whole night then?
I think I'm going to start running a supper club.
7 to 10.
Yeah, man. You should come along to us, man.
The vibe is so good. And it's unlimited rum punch.
It's incredible.
Unlimited rum punch. It's just like
unlimited rum punch.
Unlimited.
Hello.
All night. Really sets the tone as well and the vibe as well. Everyone's drunk in the Jeremy.
Punchy.
Very merry as well.
Rum cake as well to end the night and dessert.
Yeah, right. Oh, wow.
How many hours is it? What time does it start?
7 o'clock.
Starts at 7 till 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's enough time to get some drinks down.
And so you've done your prep.
Oh yeah.
So they ring on the door at 7.
Yeah.
And you've already prepped everything.
Yeah, yeah.
We're there
from afternoon from 11-12.
Yeah.
Prepping. Yeah. Obviously, season the meat overnight. You know.
Yeah. So whenever it was my birthday, I had a really nice flat with like an open plan sort of like downstairsy bit with like a kitchen and stuff, and I'd always invite people, like 20-30 people over, and I would cook for them.
Cool.
And then what would happen was. Every time, Nat would always be the first person to get there. And I'd say, everyone get there about 12. Nat would be the first person to get there. And I'd go, Nat, if anyone rings on the doorbell, let them in. And then I'd go to Sainsbury's. And then like 2 hours later, I'd get back and people were like, do you need any help unpacking? And I'd be there with like bags and bags of shopping. And we'd all eat about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh,
and everyone would be standing around the day. But like, always delicious.
It was great when it turned up. You're ready. For it when it turned up,
that's good.
Everyone's hammered and they're all talking about it. But like, I'm so like bad at that sort of stuff. But just imagine me running a supper club. It starts at 7, finishes at 10.
Yeah.
People are arriving at 7, and I'm like, oh fuck!
Oh my God.
The first person arrives has to stay. You've got to stay here. I'm going
sure
to the shop.
If the doorbell goes, it'll be a guest, right? Let them in, give them a drink.
What did you cook?
What did I cook?
Loads of stuff.
I used to, I'd make sure there was like 3 salads and then a couple of meat. So I would do kind of, I'd do like, I think one time I did like 3 roast chickens. There were beer cooked chickens that had like lots of paprika and cayenne all over them. And I'd pour lager and chicken stock all over them.
Nice.
And I'd roast them. And then there'd be like paella. And then there would also be... one year I did... It was shredded ginger beer cooked gammon.
Ooh.
So you kind of like, you slow roast the gammon,
yeah,
and sort of like onions and garlic and again like cayenne pepper and paprika, and then you pour like ginger beer all over it, and then you'd roast it down, and then eventually you'd sort of like shred it, and it would be really sort of like juicy because there'd be too much. Oh, it's incredible. Yeah.
Nice. We've got a chef in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the nicest things I've
ever
seen.
Can we hire you, mate, for yourself?
Oh, mate, I would love to be your sous chef.
Mate, that would be amazing. We need one.
One year you did corn on the cobs. It was in like a bacon sauce kind of thing. Oh, wow. What was that? That was nice.
Yeah, I did.
Very creative, mate.
I can't remember. I don't think it was bacon sauce.
It tasted bacony, right? And it wasn't that sauce. It was like a sort of, not a sauce, but like
You get a corn on the cob and you cut it into four.
Yeah.
And then you like lay them all out on a dish, and then you top it up with chicken stock, and beer.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you put just like fuckloads of cayenne pepper, turmeric, paprika. And you put all of that all over it. And then I think I had some, like, Old Bay spice. And you just put loads of, you know, seasoning on it. And then you just roast it for fucking ages. And then it all reduces down.
You know what I like? Like, you got your seasonings on point.
Yeah,
like,
just.
I know you like to season the thing.
It's just like, you don't want anything boring. So everything's
got to be seasoned.
But, yeah, and then you just put enough stuff out. And people go, oh, look at all of the stuff. And then you go, yeah. And then you have to eat it now.
Yeah.
But that's why you leave them waiting 10 hours, because they really do eat it.
Yeah.
But by that point, everyone's just like, are you going to eat anything, Nick? And I'm just like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, what have you done to the food? Why aren't you eating it? So talk us about this jerk turkey.
Yeah, basically, it's a marination. The jerk is a marination of different spices. That's what jerk is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a spicy flavour. It's a process of how you make it. So it's a combination of pimento, spring onions, thyme, browning, sugar, all blended in a blender and marinated into the meat. And just slow cooked in the oven for about 3 hours. Yeah. We usually butter it up as well.
Yeah, yeah.
With oil.
Just extra juice.
Yeah, so it's not dry.
What about, so you basically, you're doing the same process as chicken. A chicken, but with a turkey.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what about the sides?
So what sides for
a Christmas dinner?
For a Christmas dinner.
To make it like a Jamaican Christmas dinner.
Yeah. Oh,
so what's your spin on kind of like a roast dinner? Oh, like a roast Christmas dinner.
To be honest, we have like the Brussels as well. We have like the parsnips as well. All of that sort of stuff.
But also you doing have anything rice, to them, or are you just leaving them as they are?
It's just leaving it as they are, really. Mm-hmm. We sometimes put a bit of bacon in Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
Seasoning on it as well. We season them.
What you should do is you should cook them in chicken stock and beer and put paprika and cayenne pepper.
I might try that, actually.
Just cook everything in beer and chicken stock. just put paprika and cayenne pepper on everything.
We'll also cook a Christmas ham as well, with like pineapple and with some cherries on the ham.
Classic.
And the glaze as well. On it as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also have sorrel. I don't know if you guys tried sorrel. You ever tried sorrel punch?
No, sorrel.
It's a bit like hibiscus.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
and hibiscus.
It's basically like a flower, I think, isn't it? It's like a really fragrant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Soak it overnight, and then you drain all the juice out, add a bit of rum, a bit of fruits, and it's like a big punch that we share around the family at Christmas.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really nice.
Really nice.
And when you were talking about the lobster, and you said you have sweet chilli, and you're saying that's not really like in Jamaican cooking. So you're not like strict about kind of, you'll bring anything in.
So what we do the authentic, but then we have the other side where it's like, you know what I mean? You can't do authentic forever.
Yeah.
So we just kind of like switch up the styles a bit, and just make it a bit more freestyle, that twist.
Also
the twist,
make it more accessible for people as well, just trying to, you know, like just make our audience a bit bigger as well, and just dipping into different cuisines and just trying new foods.
What's the future for you? Like, can I like? Are you just playing it by ear and everything? What's next, or what's? Do you have like big plans, or have you got plans for 2020, or what's your?
We need to have that. You know that end of 2019 meeting when you're like 2020. You know what I mean? We need to have that first. But in terms of the vision, just to create more recipes, just bring more people together with food.
More books.
Yeah, whether that's through books, through more supper clubs, restaurant, more publications. We just want to bring more people together. More ideas, making it more fresh, bringing Caribbean food to more fresher, but still helping, still having that authentic side as well to it. So, yeah.
Maybe something, maybe TV projects or something.
100% TV.
On the horizon, definitely have to do TV. That'd be great.
Why have you, Natalie, why have you put a picture of Buckfast at the top?
A tonic wine. Oh, Buckfast is a tonic wine, is it?
I don't even know what Buckfast is.
But if it's tonic, I think of it as like sort of tonic. Scottish, right?
I think Buckfast is Scottish. It is Scottish because I was in Glasgow and we were drinking loads of that. Yeah, it's really, it's like basically alcoholic Ribena.
Okay.
It's like drinking Ribena neat.
What's the volume on it?
Oh, well.
It felt like.
What is the volume on...
Can you pull the...
Natalie, can you tell us how alcoholic... But 15%.
Natalie, type in Magnum tonic wine.
Magnum tonic
Magnum,
wine.
Yeah, Magnum.
A caffeinated fortified wine made from monks at Buckfast Abbey in Devon.
We did... I can't say, actually.
Okay.
At some point, I've basically given it away. Someone that we filmed with, basically, before we filmed with them, had stayed up all night and done so much cocaine. And they had the cleanest kitchen we've ever seen. They spent all night just cleaning the kitchen on cocaine. And it was just like, fucking hell. I'm not saying who it was, but if you watch all of the interviews, I think it's pretty obvious which one it was. Absolutely mental. Magnum.
How is that what it looks like?
Can you see like the packaging on it?
Yeah, they look tiny. How big are the bottles? Are they quite small?
Really small. 16.5%.
I think that's the packaging, but it's got like a man and a woman on it.
It's probably meant to give you a little stamina in the bedroom.
Yeah, man.
They're like the ones. They're like sort of, what's that, like 6 inches tall?
Yeah.
And so you're like, are you getting like one each?
Yeah.
Right.
A couple.
Or maybe more than one each.
250
Right, okay.
Is it 250 mil?
250 mil.
Oh, so it's just a little bit bigger than a mug then? Yeah. Mug size?
Yeah.
Really small, okay.
But very strong.
It's very strong.
That tastes like medicine, some will say.
But it's good for the stamina.
Yeah.
But you're also using it to cook with?
Yes.
You can do,
and just drink.
But didn't you say that you're cooking lamb with it?
Yeah, not this one.
Not that one, that's Red Label.
Yeah. It's quite similar in taste. But.
Oh, right, so this is Magnum. Mm-hmm. So you say, if you drink 16.5% Magnum.
Yeah.
That you can go for ages.
Yeah.
All right, brilliant.
Literally.
It is also because you're too drunk to be able to put it in there. Right?
There's actually a similar drink in Jamaica. What was it called again?
Stallion.
That's it. Stallion. That's
Stallion and Magnum. Stallion. They sound like...
Talk about Jamaica. They always put condoms. Names for things.
Right, brilliant, good.
Thanks, mate.
So, we can talk about food all day. Yeah, what's your favourite film?
Favourite film is Law Abiding Citizen.
Right, what's your favourite?
Scarface. Right.
Law Abiding Citizen.
Yeah, I like that.
Starring...
That's a great film.
Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I like that.
I've never met anyone whose favourite film stars Gerard Butler.
Do you know what? It just came to my head. Don't you like Gerard Butler?
I'm not saying I don't like Gerard Butler. I'm just like saying he's nobody's favourite.
Seriously?
Yeah.
But he's a good film, though.
No, he's one of my favourite actors.
All right, okay. No, I've never seen it. I can't judge it.
Gerard Butler's...
I'm not judging it, mate. You're allowed to say Gerard Butler. You're allowed to say Gerard Butler. You're allowed to say him. All right, we've all got a soft spot for Gerard Butler. Law Abiding Citizen. All right. I'll give it a go.
What about yours?
Okay, what's your favourite film?
Scarface. Obviously everyone's favourite, isn't it?
It's a good one. Well, I prefer Carlito's Way to Scarface.
I prefer Carlito's Way to Scarlito's Way. But again, I'm not complaining.
I think you're just going against the...
Maybe. I'm being contrary.
This is the same guy, the same director. I know.
Same director.
Brian De Palma.
Same actor, isn't it?
Same actor. Very much
same. So. Yeah, same. It's the dream team.
Yeah.
Pacino and De Palma.
Yeah.
Okay, good, fine. My favourite film, I don't know. It's a difficult one to answer, isn't it? You end up saying something stupid like Law Abiding Citizen.
You know what? You need to watch it.
I've never seen it. What year did it come out? Law Abiding Citizen.
My favourite film.
5-6 years ago. Longer, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
My favourite really film is either Geostorm or what's the other? Or How to Train Your Dragon 3. Gerard Butler is great in both of them, I have to say. Have you seen Geostorm?
I don't think I have.
Don't, yeah?
No, but seriously. Write it down.
I will. It's gonna have to. Laura Biden citizen.
Jamie Foxx as well, isn't it? As well.
Okay, right. Okay, Laura Biden citizen. Right, brilliant. Okay, it's time for the game.
And the game. This game is called Better or Worse, and you have to say whether the next person I name is better or worse than the person before, based entirely on my own opinion.
Okay.
Okay. So starting with Cameron Diaz, is James Cameron better or worse than Cameron Diaz?
As a person,
yeah, as a person, all told,
worse,
better. I'm gonna say better. James Earl Jones, better or worse than James Cameron?
Better,
better,
better. Yeah,
better. Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, better or worse than James Earl Jones?
Worse.
I'd say worse. Lawrence Fishburne, better or worse than Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Better.
Better.
Yeah.
Better. Okay. Laurence Olivier, better or worse than Laurence Fishburne?
Worse.
Laurence Olivier is worse?
Are you going to say better?
He's better.
Oh, what, as a film actor?
Yeah. Jason Statham, better or worse than Laurence Olivier?
Better.
I've got to say worse. No. I like
him. Jason Statham. I've enjoyed more Jason Statham.
Me too. Yeah. Jason Momoa,
and also,
better or
Laurence
worse?
Laurence Olivier was horrific on the set of Rebecca. I think we'll all remember that. carry on.
Jason Momoa, better or worse than Jason Statham?
Worse. I think worse.
Worse.
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman, better or worse than Jason Momoa?
Worse.
Better.
Yeah, better.
Jason Schwartzman, better than Jason Momoa. Yeah.
David Jason, better or worse than Jason Schwartzman?
Better.
Worse.
I think maybe worse.
Yeah.
Worse. David Lynch, better or worse than David Jason?
Better.
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 Better. Five.
Alright guys, gonna level with you. You've done the worst this season. You've done worse.
Oh my God.
You've done worse than Tom Crowley meets James Marshall Julius with 9, Paul Gannon, Nick Desmelian, and Naomi McDonald with 8, Kevin Allison, Joe DeCosta, Alistair Green, Noyd Griffith, Max Halley, Harriet Kemsley, Morgan McLean, Judith Sear, The Last Skeptic, David Trent, Toby Williams with 7, and Bronte Barbie, Will Jackson and Ginger Johnson with 6. I've got to say though, you've done much better than last season's worst, Sam Ashurst, with minus 1,000. I think that was the last. I think he got about minus 3. I think because he ended up killing a few people on the way out of the building, so we had to deduct some points for that. But the good news is that even though we've only got one show left this year, we have got another 12 shows before the end of the season.
Oh yeah, true.
So we started in March, so you've got loads of time to not be the worst.
Yeah.
We won't be the worst.
You won't be the worst.
No. Check it out.
But I mean, you are the worst so far. Right. So there's no prize other than the fact that you managed to get on the show.
Amazing.
So your book is called Original Flavour, Caribbean Recipes from Home.
Yep.
And if you go on your Facebook page, you've got the recipes for the jerk turkey.
Yeah,
Instagram.
Which I think is incredible because literally we had a 1-hour conversation on Sunday with my family about what everyone wanted, what everyone wanted for Christmas. No one could agree. Yeah, I'm just sort of sick to death of traditional roast dinners.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, right, that looked incredible. I saw it and I was just that looks incredible.
Yeah, man.
Nice. You can get that at your supper club, which you can get tickets on Eventbrite if you're quick.
You can get it at the supper club, but you can make it yourself.
Make
it yourself and bring it to the supper club. That'll help us.
Take it over. Come to my supper club. You're going to have to eat before you get there. Because there's a 10-hour wait for dinner. I'm going to what's this song that you want to play?
Popcorn.
By?
Popcorn is called Family. By Popcorn.
Okay.
It's Popcorn. Yeah. By Family. That's how it's spelled. I wasn't doing an accent. Thanks, can I?
Yo, Shaggy. Yo, Buzz. family.
Yeah, I
know
this.
I mean, say family.
Sure.
If I want thing, me hate a fern killer. Me no believe in a fern killer. Family. Family. I mean, say family. Sure. Me love me family, them do me heart. Me would do the earth one of them. Real killy dead to the end, dead from me start. Me real, real better them. God, them no